Welcome back to Marathon Melodies, everyone. In this episode, I am talking to the future alt-rock star, Mr. Sammy Smith. Now, some things you should know about Sam before we get started is, A, I've known him for quite a long time, and B, he is a very sarcastic and interesting man who was 100% sober whilst recording this episode. So do expect this one to be a little bit more vulgar. If strong language and slightly out of pocket humor isn't your thing, then I'd maybe suggest skipping this one. But otherwise, please sit back and enjoy our ramblings. Thank you so much. Good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time it happens to be when you're listening. My name is Kieran, and today I am joined by the Chelsea Dagger himself, Mr. Sammy Smith. Sam, how are you doing today?
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
Doing great. Apart from the result.
The result?
0-0. I wasn't big on the sacking of Lampard, to be honest. I think we should have given him more time. But here we are. So I could be better.
I thought you were talking about like a COVID test or maybe an exam you'd done or something. I was like, oh shit, something bad's happened.
Part one, changes.
So as you can probably tell, I've known Sam for quite a while, and this is probably how this episode is going to go, but it's fine. So, firstly, Sam, I want to know how is lockdown, this third lockdown, Ooh. How has this one been for you?
I'd be lying if I said I've stuck to it.
Okay.
Don't call the police. But,
No.
Oh no, I haven't been too bad. I've only met outside.
Yeah, that's alright.
That's alright, yeah. We've kept yeah. distance. So I've quite enjoyed it, to be honest.
You've enjoyed it?
Yeah, it's not too, been too bad.
Well, what have you been doing to keep yourself busy?
I've been watching The Office. I'd never seen the US Office before lockdown, this one. You know, I've gotten rid of my stigma towards the US Office. You know, I used to hate Americans. Now I don't mind them. That's just me evolving with the times.
Yeah, I mean, we are in a very political landscape, so you know, it's good to be a bit more accepting these days.
You won't believe. Before this whole coronavirus, I hated so many people. So many cultures I was completely put off by, but now I'm an evolved man.
Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. Although I'm still funny about the Scottish.
Okay, well, you know, I'm sure we'll get there.
Give it another lockdown.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so you're enjoying the lockdown. Are you finding that this is the kind of landscape that you're able to work creatively in? Like, is it nice to have a pause on everything else around you so that you can, you know?
Oh, definitely. I think, especially the first lockdown, that was, the first time I ever properly bothered trying to record myself.
Uh-huh.
I was doing it every day.
Every day?
Every day.
What, a new song every single day?
A new song every day.
Wow.
Well, until up to a point, then I did every other day.
So, would you say that with your enjoyment of the lockdowns and your consistency with the first one, you know, constantly pumping out new stuff, Do you think that's something you could replicate again in a post-lockdown state? Like, do you think when things go back to normal, do you think you'll be able to produce the same level of stuff, or is it more situational for you?
I don't think I'd have the time. The first lockdown was the only lockdown I took properly seriously, because everyone did. And I just had so much time around. I was, and it was quite new for me then. Because it was the first time I'd done it. And when you first start something, it's very easy to be better at it every single time. And I wanted to do it every day. Even if I get back on more of a routine, it wouldn't be like that again.
So I wanted to ask, actually, a lot of the material I've heard from you, it always kind of seems to be drawn from an experience, whether or not you've actually had that experience, whether it's a story or something. It very much feels like you're normally trying to tell some kind of narrative. I was interested where you kind of got the inspiration for that from, if anywhere.
Oh, early monkeys, for sure. Especially all I was doing around that time was just going on nights out and getting up to all sorts of shenanigans. So when I first began writing, I was trying hard to sort of express my feelings within, and I wasn't getting very far. So I just found it much easier to tell stories.
So something I did also want to ask you about is, I've known you since, you know, first year of college.
Yeah.
And before then, you know, you're in the big city, you know, you're in London. And I was wondering what that change of scenery, of culture, of everything, I was wondering what that was like for you, if you can remember how you were feeling when you first moved, when you went to the new college, like everything.
Oh, it's fucking shit.
How was that?
Fucking shit first. I remember my first day of college. I went Mackey's after school on my own. And then I went to a bench somewhere by the sea. You wouldn't know it. And then I remember having a having a thought, like, oh shit, I've actually got no friends. Even for the next few months after that, you can talk to people and get on with them, but it's not going to be the same as it was before. Like, if we're talking about the difference between London and Falmouth, none of that mattered to begin with, because the biggest change for me was the people. And that was the same when I first moved to Plymouth.
As well, I suppose that links, you know, you're in media, you're hoping to make films, I assume. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on the relationship between a movie and its soundtrack.
Yes.
Because I know for me, like, so many memories I have attached to films are always linked with the score. So, I mean, as a movie man, could you pick out any particular scores that kind of spring to mind? Any big ones that you think people should know about?
The obvious one is Baby Driver.
Great shout.
I think it's relatable in that whenever, you know, you're doing any mundane task with your headphones on, you have that feeling of, you know, you're in a film It's the music you're listening to currently is the score to your life.
Mm-hmm.
And Edgar Wright really plays on that in Baby Driver. And it's just, it's edited, it's put together so sharply, so smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love kind of the boldness of it, because it fully just, it embraces the score and it doesn't try and use it, because a lot of the time with cinema, it's kind of like the score is just like an addition.
Or yeah.
It kind of, it just plays up the tension or it adds to the scene a little bit. But Baby Driver, it's sort of, no, this is just as important as what yeah. you're looking at. Because it's, you know, everything he's doing is in time to the music, or
yeah.
the lyrics are literally describing what's happening. I think it's really good.
No, I love that about all of Edgar Wright's films, is he's always, he's never afraid to over-stylize it.
Mm. Or,
and that's it's too much for some people. They'll say it's style over substance, but I love it.
Agreed. I think it's great. I think it's harder to pull off, but when it's done right, it's more of a celebration than a kind of, because it's fully acknowledging that it's a film, but
yeah,
that's not a bad thing at all. Well, as we're talking about soundtracks, how about we just segue that nicely to the soundtrack of your life, and that will be that'll be the five songs that you've picked for us today, Sam. I'm really interested to hear yes. what you've got in store. But please, ooh. your first song. What would you like to talk about?
I'd like to talk about a Smith song.
Mm-hmm.
Called "Last Night I Dreamt That Somebody Loved Me."
Deep. That's pretty deep.
Yeah. I think when you hear a lot of love songs, I struggle to feel any sympathy for the singer at times.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be more inclined to think that they sound like a whiny bitch, because I'm more envious of them than anything in a situation where, you know, they're heartbroken. I'll think, well, it's better to be loved and lost than never loved at all. But I think this song goes against that, and it's about loneliness. It's very rarely does the title of a song hit you, and this title tells you everything you need to know.
One of the things that I admire, one of the things I admire most about a really well put together song is the fact that it is more than just the songwriting, the production, the mixing, the mastering. It's this whole world that you have to create around that, what you've just created. You know, you have to make some cover art, you have to make a title, you have to, when you're performing it, there needs to be a certain energy to it, a certain way you're delivering the message. So I think, yeah, when a title alone can do something for you, then, you know, that's some top tier artistry for me. But
100%, yeah.
So you're saying, in terms of the importance of the song to you, it's more a break from the conventional that you struggle to kind of connect with. You find that this is something more accessible to you.
And it's 100%, and it's also I'm always a sucker for songs about dreaming and the imagination. So that's where I spend a large majority of my life.
In your own little world.
Yeah.
Part 2, Melancholy.
Let's move it on to your second song. What else is on this playlist you've got for me?
On Melancholy Hill by Gorillaz.
Ooh. Now this is a song I know very well.
I wanted to pick a song from a little earlier, because I've known this one for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And, alright, let's Alright, bear with me a second. You know how, moving back to films.
Uh-huh.
I saw an interview with Tarantino. He said if there's one thing he wants his films to capture, it's the poetry between the lines. When I listened to On Melancholy Hill for the first time, more than the lyrics or anything, the thing for me was there was just this feeling about it that just captured something, you know, nostalgic and melancholic about the real world that I fell in love with.
Gorillaz, for me, they were one of that, like, Gorillaz for me was one of those examples where when I first listened to like Demon Days for the first time all the way through, that was, that again for me was similar to, like we were saying before, Edgar Wright's celebration of cinema. Gorillaz to me are constantly celebrating music because they're constantly pushing what's possible. They're constantly blending stuff together, stuff that shouldn't work, and they're just making it happen. So, because nothing they've done has ever been straightforward, but it's always worked. And Melancholy Hill is a great, great example of that. Really good.
And it was a completely different direction from Demon Days as well, which was a very successful album, and they could have stuck to sort of a much more basic combination of hip-hop and indie rock, but then they went for a more electronic pop song, and it ended up being the most iconic song, one of the most iconic songs on the album.
Yeah, and I'd say they very much shaped the sound of music for that generation.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, it takes some bravery, and, you know, the artists who are willing to try new stuff, they're always going to have their mishaps. They're always going to make something that people don't always agree with or was too abrasive for them at the time. You know, Kanye's a good example for that. But it always takes someone to try before someone can then take that formula and perfect it. So for Gorillaz to get it right on the first try, I think is... it's testament to how incredible they are.
You want to hear the next?
I'd love to hear the next song, yeah.
All right, next one I'll go for Friday Night, Saturday Morning by The Specials.
Okay.
This song, I think you can say it's influenced my music in the sense that you know, it's about a night out. Going out into town, but it's got a much more melancholic sort of feeling to it. It's one of my favourite lyrics in the song is, "Wish I had lipstick on my shirt instead of piss stains on my shoes."
That's a great lyric.
it's just a great song about a night out. The feeling of, you know, wanting things to happen, always wanting more. Sort of a similar feeling to Taxi Driver as well.
I mean, clearly, in terms of, you know, what you draw entertainment from and where you draw so much of your creativity from, how much is the lack of nights out impacting you? Because if... you know, if you're drawing most of your concepts from experiences you've had, you know, whilst out in town, do you think you're running out of material because you haven't been able to go out as much?
Well, I was going to laugh off that and say no, because I've still been taking part in, you know, going out and getting fucked, but... having said that, I've slowed down a lot on writing, so maybe you've got a point.
I was just wondering because, you know, every artist has that certain thing that brings something out of them. Because I know for me, I benefit so much from traveling. Like if I can take myself to a new environment, that does a lot for me.
Actually, I do say that my best sort of state for being creative is hungover.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know, there's something about being hungover. Pick up a guitar the next morning and it all just comes to you.
Yeah.
So maybe, yeah, you're onto something there.
Don't start drinking on your own, though. That's not what you need to take away from this.
Oh, don't worry. I've already stopped.
Good. So anyway, back to the song. So that setting of a night out, that backdrop.
Yeah.
I suppose like it makes sense because, you know, I don't drink, I don't do any of that, but I still go on nights out when I could. And certainly most of the best stories I have are from stuff that's happened out and about.
Mm.
It makes sense.
And there's another good lyric in that song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like life when things get dull.
Mm.
Which is, the reason why young people go on nights out.
Yeah. It's to escape, I guess.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting, actually, because, you know, as someone who is sober, sometimes I can definitely sort of take myself out of the situation quite easily. I can sort of be like this mediator, just sort of watching what's happening. But I can imagine when it becomes a ritual, when going out, getting drunk with your friends, getting up to crazy stuff, waking up the next day, regretting most of it. When that becomes like this thing you do every week, for that to suddenly be taken away, for that kind of aspect of your life and that world that you can put yourself into, for that to just kind of go, like, I can imagine that being really kind of disruptive for a lot of people.
Yeah. And a lot of people live for the evenings.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that thank God it's Friday mentality, you know. It's
yeah.
Let me just get to the end of the week and now I can go crazy for a bit.
Cheers!
Part 3, procrastination.
Yeah, it's like you have to kind of create your own moments now.
Yeah.
It all comes from yourself as opposed to the people around you or the stuff you're doing. It's like, okay, I'm stuck in my room again today. What can I do with myself to make this day memorable? And, you know, it's hard. It's hard to constantly come up with a new way to keep yourself entertained and feel like you're actually making some meaningful memories. I think once the weather starts to improve as well, that'll be a big thing. Because I know for me, it's like my daily walk or my daily run, those are kind of the moments when I'm outside, when I'm doing something. That's when I'm most like, okay, I'm doing something. I'm doing something important. I know this is good for me. But when it's raining, when it's cold, it's so much harder to find that motivation to get out and do something with yourself. So,
go pavilions. There's some nice domes there.
Yeah, true. Very true. So on to your fourth song.
Yes, I'll say Hiding Tonight by Alex Turner.
Okay. Do tell.
So this is a song. It's all about complacency. The first lyric is, you know, tomorrow I'll be quicker. And it follows that theme throughout of, you know, tomorrow I'm going to be better than I am today.
Mm-hmm.
But, the truth is, to be better tomorrow, you have to make an effort today.
Interesting. I suppose, again, very applicable to lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know for me, if if I've had a day where I've just ended up in bed for the whole time, it's kind of this idea of, okay, tomorrow will be better. But it's hard. It's very hard when you're constantly waking up to the same news, the same environment. You know, like I was saying before, for me personally, I thrive so much from constantly being in a new space, even if that's just someone else's house, or I could just be in the next town over, you know. Constantly waking up in the same bed every single night is hard for me. It's really just like, oh, here we go again. Same routine, same thing. It's difficult.
Yeah. And I also think it's a lot about procrastination.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose at least you've had some uni work to be getting on with, but do you think being at home has made that easier or harder, like, to do your work?
Well, I haven't, truth be told, I haven't had to do too much work while being at home, uh-huh. But I'd say I probably work better at home than I do at uni.
Oh, really? Interesting.
I can never sort of, you know, whenever someone asks me to come out, I don't like to say no.
I see.
Yeah.
I suppose, you know, when you're at uni, new environment, new people, you want to seem as an outgoing type. You don't want to be like, ah, nah.
Yeah. That might be also why, you know, I struggled first year in Falmouth because I was with new people. I guess I put more of my effort into making friends, and then I got 3 years.
So, talk to me more about that song.
Oh yeah, this song.
Yeah, the song.
Hiding Tonight.
Can you remember when you first heard it?
Yes, it is in a film. Uh-huh. Oh, we're going back to films again. It's in a film called. But this one was actually written, you know, for a film called Submarine.
Okay.
Which is directed by Richard Al-Wadi.
Ah, I love him.
Yeah, and that's a coming-of-age film about a boy in love.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad gives him, you know, a CD from when he was young, full of songs, and this is one of the songs on this CD to help him get through it. And it's just, I think I could have picked any song really from that film. The whole EP is all done by Alex Turner. And it's all about that sort of angst, teenager angst and confusion, and not knowing where you are in the world.
Interesting. I think it's really cool. Just going back to how, you know, Richard Iardi making a film about that. I think it's really cool seeing how, you know, I can think of so many examples of people who've started in one industry and have managed to kind of move themselves into another sector of that or something completely different. You know, like an example being one of my favorite artists, Kid Cudi. He's starring in a bunch of films now. Like he's acting more than he's rapping at the moment. And I don't know, I think sometimes people can get annoyed by that because it's like, oh, you're not even trained in this profession. Like, you should just stick to what you're good at. But I don't know, once you've got that level of fame and success, why not?
People say to me, Sam, you're a legendary artist, but you shouldn't be getting involved in film. And I say to them, yes, I should.
Strong argument. And then they're like, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, and then they say, oh, yeah, you should.
Wow, you're amazing.
And then they say, can I have your autograph?
Uh-huh.
And I say, yes, you should.
Yes. So, I think that's great, though, that...
Richard.
Yeah, we love Richard. But I think now that the media has become so kind of, it's so accessible now. You know, you've got Netflix, you've got Spotify, you've got this and that. You know, it's more consumable than ever. It's only natural that people are gonna kind of Tinder, that people are gonna cross streams and try new things because it's just so easy to now. You know. Any big celebrity can become a YouTuber, for instance, just because they already
and any,
have
any YouTuber
that fame.
Can become a big celebrity.
It's true. It happens all the time now.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about it, getting on YouTube?
YouTube, all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What would your channel be about? What would you do?
I'd probably watch porn. And review it.
Like a reaction channel?
Yeah. Just for pornography.
I mean, I think you'd have to censor most of it.
Yeah, I'd put little like blurs, or like I could put your face over each genitalia area.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be alright with that.
Yes.
Part 4: Content.
So, talking of climaxes, let's make it to the end. Your final song, the song that's going to round off this playlist. What have you got?
I'm watching The Wheels by John Lennon. But John Lennon is about what? What's it? What is it about? I'm gonna get up the lyrics.
Do it.
And then I'm gonna recite them.
Mhm.
Watch. Can you hear me typing?
Yep.
Ooh. Alright. People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin. Then I say that I'm okay. Well, they look at me kind of strange. Surely you're no happy now. You no longer play the game. Mm. It almost talks about being, you know, a lazy sort of procrastinator, but as a good thing.
Mm.
Sort of saying like, fuck you, I'm just happy enjoying my life.
Mm-hmm.
Without having to get up to get a job, which is probably a bad attitude for me to have. But I must say I quite enjoy it. And I think it's the only like happy song I've put on this.
Uh-huh.
The only upbeat song. Because usually when I say, you know, if you are down, you're better off listening to a song that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
But here's one for you.
Well, I think that's a lovely way to end your playlist. But I guess that is an interesting one though, because you never. Mm. You never think about it from that perspective. It's always like, oh, if you're lazy, you're wasting time and whatever. But being okay with just sitting with yourself is kind of rare now, you know? Well, I think that's a pretty cool way to round this episode off.
Shout out to my homies in Compton.
All of them. So many of those guys.
Shout out to Harvey.
Uh huh.
From Compton.
Yeah.
Harvey Smith. He was our gang leader.
Oh, yeah. What did you guys get up to?
Oh, all kinds of shenanigans, like we'd knock on people's doorbells and run away.
Wow, you knock on their doorbells? That's crazy. You guys want some crazy stuff.
Windows. Thank you for listening.
No, Sam, before we go, we need to give we need to give your playlist a name. It's very important that we give your playlist a name.
I'd like to call my playlist Herbie Tubbs.
Herbie Tubbs. Are you saying that one of those would accompany this playlist very nicely?
Oh, beautifully.
Okay, cool. And as well, so all this music that we're hearing about, where can people go find it?
Oh, my music?
Yeah, your music.
Ooh, it's some of it's on SoundCloud, if you got that.
Uh-huh. What's your name on SoundCloud?
Shit, I don't know. I'll look it up.
Yeah, do that.
Here it is. Oh, Spuffy Sammy.
Spuffy Sammy. And you're on BandLab as well, aren't you?
I'm also on BandLab, yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot on there. My name on that is Spuffy Sammy as well.
Spuffy Sammy. And do you have anything...
No.
Anything big planned for the coming future?
Oh, anything big.
I want people to know about?
Definitely been making more films this year.
Okay.
And I'll be making more music.
Great. Sam, it has been a pleasure as ever to have you on the show.
As ever?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. It's my first time on the show.
Well, I mean, just us talking in general.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we are still friends outside of this, I hope.
Hmm.
No comment.
We'll see.
Thank you all so much for joining in with this R-rated episode of Marathon Melodies. Not really, but make sure you check out Sam and all of his socials, and tune in next week where we'll be interviewing our first orchestra member and seeing how lockdown has affected that whole industry. Stay tuned, guys. Lots of love.
Genitalia area.